Lord, thank you again for another fine day that you've made for us. Lord, we just ask for your guidance tonight. We thank you for your protection upon Trump and his family. And we thank you, Lord, that you are draining the swamp, both physically and spiritually. And Lord, we thank you for that. We ask that you lead us tonight, that your Holy Spirit will take us by the hand and just lead us to what you want us to speak about, talking about the Holy Spirit and Jesus blasphemy, the difference between them. And Father, we ask for your wisdom here to speak only as you'd have us to speak, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're putting in each of our hearts to run after you, to surrender everything to you, Lord. And stay up on that highway of holiness. We thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for protecting everybody in the days ahead, all of the outreach people, all the fellowship here. Protect them in the days ahead, because, you know, Father, we've gotten word that might be some bad stuff heading our way, but we know that we have the Passover with you, the Psalm 91 Passover. And Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you, Father, for the faith that you've given us. We praise you, Father, for the faith that you have put into Leonid to believe for Alexei. And we thank you for the faith you put in us too, Lord, to believe that he's coming back. Not only that, that revival will start in this family. They have already given up on the boy. And Lord, I thank you that now it's your glory that'll be magnified 500-fold or more. Father, because they ain't nothing they can do now. They just, anyway, Lord, we just thank you for raising up Alexei, Alex. And thank you, Lord, for the glorious revival that'll break out because of it, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for being with all of us tonight. Give us wisdom, words, and we thank you, Lord, that revelations will come forth tonight, in Jesus' name.
I don't know.
Thank you, Father. Amen. Who is that? Somebody's got to mute it, unmuted there. Oh, that's Denny. I got you, Denny. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, Missy.
Well, last night, Fudge ran over to the neighbors like she usually does because they spoil her rotten. They give her treats all the time. But anyway, me and my neighbor, she got to talking to me and just tell me some things that she's going through and stuff like that. And I was like really surprised. I mean, she was telling me about something in particular, and she has unforgiveness. And at first, when she first started talking about this particular situation or whatever, I'm like, at first I'm like thinking, should I be listening to this, you know? But anyway, she says, I'm telling you all this so that you can pray for me. And I said, well, why don't we pray now, you know? And I told her, I said, I have there's one major thing that I'm really concerned about. And she said, what? And I told her, I said, you know, you have a lot of anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. She goes, yeah. She said she knows. And so, you know, I prayed with her concerning that. And she just slowly started crying. And you know, I saw the tears and everything. And, you know, she said, I did that. And I said, well, it was the Lord, you know. She says, yeah. And she says, I needed to talk to you right now. And I told her, you know, anytime you need somebody to talk to or whatever, just give me a text or call me or whatever. And she said she's working at a home now, and that on her way to work every day, she would, you know, she would pray. And I said, well, you just got to make sure when you get up in the morning, you give the Lord, you know, time first. She goes to a Serbian Eastern Orthodox, you know, and it's a lot like Catholic. But anyway, we had a really good conversation just about a lot of different things and things that are going on in the world and the whole pedophilia thing and stuff like that. But and there were some things that I said to her, started to quote some scripture or whatever. And I don't remember what it was, but she knew what I was saying. So she knows the word a little bit. And I told her, you know, you need to make sure you're reading the word. I said, because that'll help change your heart. I prayed for her that the Lord would, you know, give her the grace to forgive and everything. And, I just want to talk to her, you know, some more, you know. I don't know if she's a born again believer or not, but, I was just like, wow, I was totally astounded. I was like so encouraged that the Lord just made that divine appointment. I mean, gosh, 2 days in a row, two different neighbors, and it seems like it's like I know the Lord's gonna be doing something soon. It's not far off because the Lord's given me opportunities to speak to different neighbors here in the past month or so. And it's just blows my mind, you know. Never really, you know, had just, that's never happened before. But anyway, so I wanna pray for her. But she also told me about I also want to pray about something else too. I'm gonna tell you about this too. Up on the corner here in our development, when we went for a walk with the dogs, and she says, if you pray for anybody, you got to pray for this household right here. And I said, yeah. And she continued to tell me that if y'all remember, I talked about it, the retired pastor from the church that she told me about, his name is DC. And I had come across him and talked to him a few times, but I hadn't seen him in quite a while. And he was living with his son there. Well, the house that she pointed to was the house that he was living in, and his son and wife and four kids. Anyway, his son was, I don't know if this is even with the littlest one, because the littlest one is two, but he molested every one of his kids. I'm not sure if that's even with the two-year-old, and he was in jail or whatever, and he kind of like went off the deep, and now he's in a psych hospital, and the mom and the kids had moved that for a while, and now they're back. But so I wanted to pray for them too, and I was just like, wow, I'm just like, jeez. And so I'll pray for those two right now, and then I also I'm sorry, I have something else too. Anyway, Lord, I just pray, lift up Mila, Lord. I ask you to grant her repentance unto salvation, convict her that, Lord, that she needs to be forgiven so that she can forgive others, Lord. And and Father, I just thank you for the opportunities to speak to Mila, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for granting her repentance unto salvation, and that she would come into the full knowledge of the truth, Lord, and that you would give her greater understanding of your word, enlighten the eyes of her heart, and give her spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for that time with her yesterday. And I ask you also to grant repentance unto salvation for her husband, Pedro. And Lord, help him to get away from the news. It has a bad effect on him, Lord, as it's had a bad effect on a lot of people, Lord. And just thank you, Lord, for saving them both, Lord. And Lord, help Mila and Pedro know, Lord, that you're faithful and that you will provide for them and make a way for them to be able to pay their bills and stuff, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you will bring healing to Pedro, that he can work again, find work and actually work again too, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for bringing them both into the full knowledge of the truth, and that they turn to you for their healing, Lord. That it's one of your promises. Help them to understand that. I ask in Jesus' name. And then for the family up on the corner with the father that's molested his children, Lord, I just ask you to grant him repentance unto salvation, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, to deliver those little ones, Lord, from all hurt and spirits that may have come from what they've gone through, and Lord, grant them all repentance unto salvation. The wife, the whole household, the kids, the husband, Lord. It's a really sad situation, and help them all to forgive, Lord. It's only by your grace and knowing you as their Savior, Lord, can they forgive and know that they need to forgive too, Lord. And I just thank you and I praise you for doing that. And Lord, my dad's supposed to have a test done to see if he has sleep apnea. And I rebuke that spirit, that curse that was spoken on him. My dad does not have sleep apnea. I command that spirit off of him in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that when he's tested, that it's going to come back negative in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for being merciful both to my mom and dad concerning their health. I pray, Lord, that you sustain and you keep my mom, Lord, and so that she can believe you for her healing for her knee, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that she not have to have surgery on her knee, Lord, because you are going to be the one. It's already done in your eyes. She's already healed. But, Lord, I just ask you to give her the faith to believe that, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for this awesome revival once again that you're bringing, Lord. And just praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name. And Father, I just ask you for a good time with my family this weekend, getting to see Matt and Megan and the rest of my family that's going to be able to get together, Lord. And I ask you for your you to just bless our time and watch over Kurt and Brooke as they leave tomorrow to go out to California, Lord. Watch over them and keep them, Lord. Keep them out of harm's way, Lord. I pray for their protection, Lord. I pray that no earthquakes happen while they're there, And if they do, Lord, I trust and believe that you're going to watch over them and keep them. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm sorry, I had a big list.
That's fine. That's all right. Is that it?
I think.
Okay. All right. Denny, did you have something? I noticed you unmuted there for a little bit. Nope. Okay. Anybody else? Prayer request. Yeah, Joe.
I want to lift up a couple fellow believers. Albert and Lisa, who used to be a part of the outreach ministry. And then their friends, who I met through them, Victor and Peggy Moravlag, their son, has been in the hospital the last 2 days, maybe, right around there, with pneumonia. But Albert and Lisa, first of all, their son, I think, has been in town down there in Corpus Christi, Texas, for the last week, I want to say. You know, they've had a pretty rocky relationship. You know, just a lot of stuff that's happened from the past, and I want to pray over that situation. You know, I guess he told me yesterday, Albert, yesterday I believe it was, that he said Tyler's his name, his son, that hadn't come out of his room or the room that he's staying in since, I guess, the night before. It was a rough night, and I just want to pray for that family, that you know, the Lord would you know, the Lord would do it work there. Yeah, there's not much communication, and it's a pretty rough situation, but I want to pray for them first. So just agree with me here. Father God, I just thank you for Albert and Lisa, Lord. I remember when I was, you know, you first opened my eyes, God, and you first really introduced yourself to me. You know, you really, I began to learn about deliverance and everything. You began to open my eyes, and they were one of the first few that were, you know, individuals who would pray for me and just, you know, encourage me on a daily basis. So I ask, Lord, for that you would bless them. You know, thank you for that. And but Lord, help them. You know exactly what's going on in that family. You know why there's no communication exactly, and you know why there's such a void there. I come against every spirit and every enemy, you know, every work of the enemy in Albert, Lisa, and Tyler, and I just break your power over them right now in the name of Jesus. I lose confusion into the enemy right now that's trying to work in that family. Father, we ask that you would just, we just ask that you'd put peace in that whole household right now. Just a joy, a peace would come over that household right now, that they, you know, there'd be no strife, there'd be no contention, no tension of any sort in that family right now. But Lord, you know, I mean, if somebody's holding back, I don't know, Albert or Lisa, you know, whoever it is, cause them, Lord, to feel convicted about it. If they have to go to somebody and say, I'm sorry, if they have to reach out to somebody, you know, whatever it is. So, Lord, I ask that you give them wisdom and discernment. But give them a heart that would desire to be obedient in this situation, whatever you're calling them to do. You know, I can, you know, I can relate with that, family issues, and sometimes there's always somebody who's stubborn. They're not willing to do what's needed to make things right. So I ask that you would, you put humility in the hearts of each of them. You know, that they would admit, yeah, okay, I've been the one who's wrong here, and I need to go make amends. So whoever it is, Lord, whatever it is, you know, I thank you for giving them wisdom and discernment. And I thank you for what the work you're going to do. I thank you that they're a family, that they're going to be close. Through all these trials and these tribulations and this suffering, Lord, you are going to bring them together, you know. And so I pray that you would just bless them in this area. In Jesus' name. And Father, I just lift up to you Victor and Peggy. Thank you for their friendship too. Thank you, Lord, that they are serving you. Pray for their son, Victor Jr., that we rebuke this pneumonia over him right now in the name of Jesus and command those spirits, any spirits of infirmity, whatever spirits, to loose him now. Father, we thank you that he is healed from the top of his head down to his feet, you know, wherever the pneumonia is, he's totally healed. He's already been healed. I believe he is a believer, Lord, but if not, may this be one step closer to you to renew his life, whatever the situation is with him spiritually. you know, I thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing here, but this pneumonia will not hurt him. We thank you that he's already healed. You know, we come together and we thank you that you honor these things. That's one of your promises, that your children, there's healing. So we thank you for that healing, and that he will be totally restored, and he will no longer be in that hospital. So we thank you for that, and comfort that family, you know, help them to believe. And I pray for Victor and Peggy that you bring them into the truth, Lord, of the real good news. I know they've heard of UBM. They've heard of David and the, you know, the things that you've showed them, Lord. So I don't really know if they truly believe it. So, Lord, may this be one of those times where you lead them closer to the truth, that they understand the real good news, the gospel, the real gospel, that, you know, the blessings that are involved in it, and they don't believe what these apostate churches have taught them over the years. So thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the work you're going to do in their lives. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, we believe. Lord, I'm just asking you to place it in Albert's heart to put Tyler on the altar, just like I did Blake, and watch you do the work in him, Lord, and just sit back and kick back in the rest. And just believe it is happening. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Morning, everybody. Just a praise report. My next door neighbor did get out of hospital last night, and looking really good. It's just only going to bump the head, but he's not drinking any medication. So praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for answering the prayer. Amen. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request, testimony, praise report? The song. Okay. Now, what's the topic tonight? I think it's blaspheming Jesus and blaspheming the Holy Spirit. What's the difference? Now, take answers now. I know y'all took and looked at it. Yeah, Leah, go ahead.
Well, I happen to think it's because the Holy Spirit is God, and Jesus is the man. So that's a simple form. But I'd love to hear what other people had to say, too.
So I have a question. May I ask a question?
A question of me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. If Jesus is man, he's not man now, he's God.
Mm-hmm.
And the what he said was, it was forever and ever, you know, from now on, when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit from now on. So, I'm just throwing that in there. Jesus is not man now. He's on the throne, on the right hand of God.
Is that a question?
Well, it's an observation that Jesus is not man now, so that really is not relevant, right? or is it? I don't know.
Keep talking.
I'm here, mute.
I'm going to let George do the talking. Go ahead, George. Go ahead, George. You're muted if you didn't know. Are you there, George?
Ship and the Holy Spirit, you have a taste of God and a moving of the Spirit, or you know the actions of God in your life, that to walk away from that or to disparage God working in your life and the Holy Spirit, the active principle of the Godhead, basically, that that's a bit more of a an offense is the way I look at it.
I don't think we caught the whole thing. I think we just caught a part of it, George.
Yeah, I've been having trouble the last few weeks trying to keep a signals problem. What I was saying is it seems like to get to know Jesus or to hear about him, to receive Christ, that there's a lot of leadway and a wooing and a process there. But once you have the Spirit of Christ and see God move with the Holy Spirit or know something about the Holy Spirit, that then to offend him is a bigger error or a something, you know, it's, I don't know maybe where I'm going with it, but it just seems like there's a lot of grace in the resistance to know Christ, but once you are a Christian, especially, and then dismiss the Holy Spirit, that, you know, how can you miss it? Is the, I guess the way I'm looking at it. I don't know.
Muted.
Yeah, I think you're on the right track. Go ahead, Leah. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me get Tim first. Tim had his hand up.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, just not very hard, but I was kind of busy today. But what occurred to me is that Christ came to fulfill the scriptures, and the scriptures said that, you know, he would be mistreated and hated by everybody. He said he was going to be hated by everybody. And he came to suffer and teach forgiveness. So I think that part of his mission was, you know, that he was going to be blasphemed, and he knew it. And he wanted, you know, his mission here on earth was to teach love and forgiveness and turning the other cheek. And he couldn't tell somebody that, you know, this sin won't be forgiven of, you know, all everything else, the murderers and the adulterers and all that he forgave. But, you know, calling me names is not going to be forgiven. So I think he had to fulfill the scripture and to teach forgiveness. He had to allow the blasphemy of his own name and his own character to occur and to be forgiven to somebody who was really repentant. That's just my thought on it.
What about the Holy Spirit? Why is he not forgiven?
I just thought for a little while I didn't get that far.
Okay. All right. It worked for me, buddy. Oh my, go ahead, Leon.
Well, I was going to try and answer what you were speculating there about him sitting at the right hand of God. He's still the Son of God. He's not God. And he was the Son of God here, but he was also the Son of Man. And I love what Tim just said about him. And the Holy Spirit is still God, you know. It's just God being able to be with us where he can't be with us in the physical sense. He can send the Holy Spirit like that. So it's still God, and Jesus is still the Son of God.
Okay. Can I be the devil's advocate? If he's the son of God, then isn't that make him a God too? Yep. Just saying. Oh. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Tim.
Maybe the crossing the line was at the point where he became glorified when he was resurrected. But, you know, there's a delineation that where things change at that instant. And maybe at that point he became something you couldn't bless, you couldn't blaspheme him after that and be forgiven because he was part of the Godhead at that point. He left the Son of Man part to become Son of God. And I don't know, I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Marilyn.
Well, just with Tim's last comment, I was thinking that, you know, there's Muslims out there that blaspheme Jesus every day, but, you know, some of them do get saved. Kind of what I was thinking is more that, you know, these were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious, their hearts were so just religious and hard and unbelieving. And what they were also doing is they were attributing the works of God through Jesus to the devil. And so, you know, to me, that's the greater offense, that they weren't just speaking against
the Holy Spirit,
Jesus, but, you know, the acts of the Holy Spirit and saying that they were from Beelzebub. I think that
Bingo. Go ahead, Andrew.
To add to that, I would remind you of what it says in John 14:26 on what these people would be blaspheming if they're blaspheming the Holy Spirit, to speak irreverently of him. But when the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. You don't want to blaspheme something like that. But even more so, what it also says in John 16. But when that one comes, the Spirit of truth, which is referring to the Holy Spirit there, when it says the Spirit of truth, because the Spirit of truth in 15:26 is the Comforter. And in 14:16 and 17, it also collates the Spirit of truth with the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit and the Word agree, okay? But in this one, it says, but when that one comes, the Spirit of the truth, he shall guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he heareth, these shall he speak. And he shall declare to you the things to come. So he shall speak to you and to declare to you the things that will come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall declare it to you. All things whatsoever the Father hath are mine. all power and authority was given to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Therefore said I, that he taketh of mine and shall declare it to you. And you don't want to speak irreverently of something like that, you know. It's just a lot of these key scriptures where it mentions the Comforter in John 14 and 15 and 16. It's something you don't want to speak irreverently of at all. And who would want to speak irreverently of Jesus anyway either? So on the other hand, I remember once someone telling me, you know, that he met some Muslim people and they were speaking irreverently of Jesus Christ there. And one of the Christians said to them, why do you blaspheme Jesus Christ? Why don't you blaspheme your own God? You know, like, isn't this kind of proof that he is God now? or the Son of God? And they didn't know how to answer him for that. So it just goes to show that if he's going to speak irreverently or use Jesus' name in vain there, and they don't know him at all, you know, in their religion. So it kind of proves that if, you know, if they're going to do that, why don't they do it with their own religion? That's about it. But you know, this spirit of the truth, I just, so much so collates with the Comforter, because it's in all these verses. And I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he be with you forever, the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it beholdeth him not, neither knoweth. Ye know him, for he abideth with you and is in you. I will not leave you orphans. I come unto you. And so that Spirit of truth is very much collated with that Holy Spirit. And no, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm just, you know, I was studying this Holy Spirit quite a bit, and it's quite an eye opener on how much you can get. But you know, the Spirit of the Word and the Spirit of the Truth, the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, In Ephesians 1 and 3, you know, it talks about every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And for where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. That's the verse right before. We all talk about the unveiled face one. And the functioning of the Spirit, the Comforter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Really cool when you read that one. You know, we were talking, I told you those verses there about the Spirit of the truth, but then there's an interesting verse here about the manifestation of the truth. So that's this the Holy Spirit in action in a person, in a believer. And that's in 2 Corinthians 4 and 2, the manifestation of the truth. Remember, the Comforter is associated with that Spirit of truth. But we have renounced the hidden things of the shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every conscience of man in God's sight. Like, that's really a powerful thing for, I guess, the apostles and the ones who did that back then. Anyways, I sometimes read this and it excites me and it builds me up, all these things that I wrote here. Anyway, praise God.
Amen. Yeah, Paula.
Just two things that caught my attention now while everyone was speaking. What stood out for me now when Marilyn also said, I think there's a component about the works. Jesus even said, if you don't, I think I'm quoting it right, if you don't believe me for the works that I did. The works were the evidence of the source, you know, whether it was good or bad. You will know it, you will see the fruit of it. So the work for me is one thing. And then like Marilyn said, it's not a case of ignorance. Ignorance, I think, can still be overlooked and it can still be forgiven. So where Jesus, the man, was standing before them, it can be like us, you know, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and someone can look at this earthen vessel and be ignorant of what it contains, because it's veiled. But with the Holy Spirit, it's not veiled, and his works are evident that he is good and that he is God and that he's almighty. So when you speak against that, it really is a case not of ignorance, but of a hardened heart, maybe of a willful sin. So I don't know, that those two things, the works and the willful hardened hearts, that stood out for me now.
Amen. When a person gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, what is that to us? That's the power from on high, isn't it? Isn't that what it says? And if that's the power from on high, all the works and actions that go forth from us, healing, deliverance, all of those things, are from the Holy Spirit. He's the one that does all the works. And if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, and what we learn is that we can grieve the Holy Spirit, and if you grieve the Holy Spirit, then you set him apart from you. And if that's the case, then when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, and he comes from the Father, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father, and the Father is the one that brings us to repentance, and then you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you have just cut the bridge between you and the Father. Right? And so when you do that, there's no repentance, because you don't have the Father. Your conscience is sealed over, has seared, as they say. That's in my estimation there. Has anybody got anything to add to that or comment about that? That's kind of the way I see it. Jesus being the avenue toward the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the one that draws us to Jesus. And if you blaspheme, you know, you see what I'm saying? it's kind of a catch 22. If you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you send him away from you. You called him the devil, and he ain't gonna stick around. And if he don't stick around, you're in trouble. And that's just my way of looking at it. I don't know. Yeah, Joe.
Okay, there we go. Now, I think you said it at the beginning of what you said, and that's what came to mind for me, is that's the power. I mean, if you blaspheme the one who's got the power to do, you know, the work, then, yeah, you've really hurt yourself there. But no, you're right. I mean, you know, you're saying I can see that, but I thought, I guess the first thing that came to mind for me is, I mean, that's where the power comes from. You know, I mean, God's Spirit, like he said, you know, Jesus said he would convict the world of sin. You know, I mean, he was there as the comforter. That's where we look to for the power to walk this life, to walk this, you know, walk of faith. And if you just look at that and say, well, that's from the devil, what have you done? Yeah, you basically just eliminated that power in your life, and yeah, you got nothing. So that's what came to me. So yeah.
Let me unmute here. Go ahead, Leah.
So then, if what you said and what Joe said are correct, and I believe they are, then the people that deny the gifts of the Spirit and say that that's all passed away and all of that stuff, would they be blaspheming the Holy Spirit?
Well, I'd be walking a fine line, so I don't know.
Or would that just be a grieving part? I know that the Spirit would be grieved then, but
the only thing that we have evidence of what blaspheme is in Mark, was it Mark or Mark? Yeah, Mark 7. 6:30, I don't know, one of those, where he says, when they blasphemed the Holy Spirit, when they called him the devil, right. So that's a work of the devil, and they were calling the works of the devil, which the Holy Spirit was the one doing the works, and if he was the one doing the works, that's what blasphemy is, yeah.
Yeah. So the people that get healed, and they go to their church and they say, oh, that's the devil doing that. You know, God doesn't heal anymore. The devil just did that for you. That, who is it that says, Don says that a lady got her eyesight back.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was totally healed and went and professed it to her church, and they told her the devil did that, and then she believed them and not the Spirit of Christ, and she lost her healing, and they're attributing that to the devil, the healings and so forth. Same thing that the Pharisees were doing.
Absolutely, and that's very dangerous to do something like that because of your religion. They were jealous because of your religion. Yeah, Andrew.
I just always try to find a little bit of, hopefully, grace from the Father for these kind of things that people sometimes say and people repeat, too, you know. They repeat it in ignorance. They're, some of the youngsters might hear some of these things, too. And, you know, they're not... perhaps not even regenerated yet, or born again yet, or into the likeness of, or recreated. So I think that God has to make a decision too, you know, for this in some cases, because, you know, you might have someone overhear things that and repeat them, because, you know, you're taught things from when you're yay high in these, some of these religions or denominations, and you know, you still want some of these, hopefully these people to be saved too, you know. So that's just another side to it. I'm not saying that that's the end result, you know, because you need to have some mercy on people too, you know, because you can't help if someone's from you've taught something and you know, there might still be something lingering, I always think, on me that I still have to get rid of too, you know, because you know, you can read the Bible and perhaps you can get delivered of something because you read it one way because you were told to read it this way back when you went to that church over there, you know? And then when you read it again, you go, hey, it's different now. And that could happen, you know. You could be delivered even just by reading the Bible and said, and you go, well, when I read that, when that pastor taught me that, and it doesn't really mean that, you know. So, you know,
you get that. We were all like that, Andrew.
Yeah.
You know, we all believed a different gospel before.
Yeah.
But, you know, here we are, and we believe what we think is the truth.
Yeah. So, that's what I meant. You know, you got to give some time for the Lord to work on some of these people, too.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe in having a lot of grace for them. I'm talking about people that's been in, supposedly been in the Word for years and years and years, and still say that after reading the New Testament a number of times, and they still come to the conclusion that healing and deliverance is a work of the devil. I've had them do that to me. Once I remember they did that to me. I had a bunch of apostate religious men surround me and start hollering at me, calling me the devil, which didn't bother me, but just couldn't get the guy that I was ministering to. I couldn't hear him because of their screaming and hollering. Go ahead, Tim.
It occurred to me that you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit, that you are not believing him, and the Lord calls unbelief an evil heart of unbelief. So if you are evil and believing, cut yourself off from grace to be saved because you've completely been disobedient, and that only the righteous and saved are going to be in heaven to worship God, because that's who he wants to have to worship him for eternity, for revelation. So I think it's kind of, if you're going to go willfully out there and blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you have cut yourself off, and there's really nothing, you know, there might be things, but a long shot, and the grace of God, I think, will bring you back. Just the thought there.
Amen. I mean, yeah, we don't know who God reprobates other than what the Word tells us. So, you know, like Andrew was talking about, we need to have a lot of grace for these people and pray that God would bring them in. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, it's too bad about that that woman there who lost her healing there. It was mentioned, you know. But maybe she'll read that part in the Bible there where this person was healed from his youth, from his blindness. And he stuck to his guns in front of all of the religious people there in the Gospels. And, you know, maybe she'll read that and say, well, maybe I made an error here, you know. Because, you know, that to me seems like someone interfered with God's temple there, corrupted her in the sense of her losing her healing, you know. And that's not really nice to do to someone. Now, why not just let people believe, you know? If they're believing, let them believe, you know. If that person who did that isn't in fear of God, I don't know what would make him. For saying that and have her lose her sight. You know?
That's religious spirit.
But I do like about that, what we heard on the, was it last time where the guy got his voice back and he was teaching Sunday school? That was kind of
neat. Yeah. Go ahead, George.
I think that this is actually becoming a more important subject, because if you look at when Jesus spoke about it, it was a very, very religious crowd. He was showing them firsthand the power of God and the witness of the Messiah, and they were attributing it to Satan. And he was allowing himself to take on shame and everything else. But the works of God, he said, if you don't believe me, believe the works of my Father. And now we went through the dark ages, and the Bible says where darkness abounds, grace does much more abound. There was such a time without a strong witness of the power of God throughout history. But now we're coming back into that latter rain and former reign time, where the manifestation of the sons of God is going to be Jesus on the planet again, doing what the Holy Spirit and Jesus do. And that same religiosity, you can see the enemy building all of these camps where they attribute the works of God. We're seeing the works of God again, and these camps are trying to explain away the power of God. And they're trying to build camps or these factions, like, say, Jehovah's Witnesses, or, you know, that's just one example. There's probably three dozen that totally do not believe in healing. They attribute it to the devil. And I think that we're just in that confrontational part of history again, where people can actually blaspheme the Holy Spirit and be cut off from grace.
Amen. Yep, I believe it. Yeah, go ahead, Paula.
I just have a question. Now in the end of days, where the deception is going to be so strong, that God said, even if it was possible, the elect would be, you know, deceived. The enemy is also going to do these wonderful signs and wonders. And surely, you know, that's going to be a time of obviously a lot of confusion. And we're going to need the Holy Spirit so much in order not to be deceived. But what I'm saying is that he's also going to do the counterfeit healings and the counterfeit, you know, everything that we believe that God does. So how is that going to be judged if someone, you know, miscalculate, or it looks like the real thing, but it's not? You understand what I'm saying? And then maybe it's the real thing, but you're paranoid and you're thinking, oh, maybe that's not the real thing. How is that going to work?
We have some examples just in recent history. You talk about the revival in Pensacola. There were some manifestations that went on there, but you can't find it in the Word of God. spiritual manifestations that happen that were not in the Word of God. And that's the key right there. It has to line up with the Word of God. They claimed that they had healings and deliverances there. But in fact, there were no healings, only impartation of wrong spirits. And so that's one example. Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, I remember it being said here in the ministry that if it's not a deliverance, a provision, or a healing, what is it? You know, I heard of people getting gold dandruff, whatever. that's usually copy or gold fillings. You know, I'm sure gold is not as strong as enamel teeth enamel. You know, that's a knockoff. You know, it's, you know, you go and buy the toys. You know, they've got these tops. They're called Beyblades for the kids. There's knockoffs. They're not the real Beyblade. They know right away. Hey, you got me the cheap one. Or whatever. Anyway, I think that's one way to really tell, you know, if it's not a healing, it's not a healing. You know? if it's not a deliverance, it's not a deliverance. If it's not a provision, you know, if you know, people pray, Lord, help me find my keys. I'm going somewhere. I got to find them right away. That's a provision. Because you got to go when you have to go. Anyway.
Yeah, Leon, go ahead.
When George was talking just a moment ago, he was talking about the latter times or the latter days and things like that. And I was thinking about 2 Timothy 3:5, where it says, they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit that they're denying. So that's part of the end times evil. Know this, and in the last days, perilous times will come. So, you know, that's the perilous times that God's talking about, that George was just talking about too. So, and the whole list of evil things that people do. So I just wanted to make that comment.
Yeah, amen.
And then Dave came on the scene.
Yeah. Amen. Right, Denny, did you have something?
Their connection's messed up, Michael. I put something in the chat. We should pray for him because he can't hear us, but we can hear him, is what he was saying. So.
Oh, okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for restoring our communications both ways. In Jesus' name, receiving and transmitting. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, that you've already done it. In Jesus' name, we command that phone, the PC to work, and the communications to work like it's supposed to, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? You find a car, babe?
Well, we looked at one. The problem with my son, he's 6'3". So he's got to find something where his head fits and he can see out the window without staring at the top of the car. So that, you know, finding the fit is one thing, and then finding a good car is the next. So,
okay.
It's kind of like trying to find a purse for a woman in a way, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a little difficult right now, so a little challenging. But
yeah.
We'll get it moved on. I was thinking, too, you mentioned end times. I found it interesting because I was reading South Thessalonians, the last book I read before I mouthed in the next one here in Timothy. And I got into 2 Thessalonians 2, And it talks about the man of lawlessness being revealed. And I'll read some of that. This is going to be through the ESV version. And, I haven't gone through David's hidden manner, or if I did, I can't remember it, about the man of lawlessness being revealed. But it kind of dawned on me about this might be something else to think about. So now concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or spoken word, or a letter seeming to be from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. So he's talking about, the day of the Lord coming. So don't worry about it. It hasn't come yet, because somebody else is speaking some false doctrine there about that. But he said, let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless it's called the rebellion come first, or if I go to the, let's go to the new, let no one, I'm going to the New English, American New Testament English version. Let no one beguile you anyways, unless the falling away come first. A man of lawlessness be revealed, the son of destruction. He that opposes and exalts himself against everyone called God or an object of worship, so that he that sitteth in the temple of God set himself forth as being God. Remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things. And now you know that what restraineth, so that he be revealed in his own season. For a mystery of lawlessness, he says, death already work, only there is one that restraineth now until he become out of the midst. And then shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the Lord Jesus Christ shall slay of the spirit of his mouth, bringing forth and not the manifestation of his presence. In him whose presence is according to the working, Satan's working with all powers and signs and wonders and falsehoods, and with all deceit and unrighteousness for the perishing, in that they receive not the love of truth, but that they be saved. For this cause God sendeth them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in righteousness. He's talking about this man of lawlessness being revealed, but this lawlessness is the falling away, the ones that are coming out from amongst us. This is the church people. This isn't the wicked people. That's the scary part. These are people that have this working of lawlessness inside of them that are amongst us, and they're full of unrighteousness, and Satan's working. They're the ones that are going to come out from amongst us. It's kind of like almost like a Judas amongst us, in the church. So, until that person is brought out of the midst of the church, we're not going to see this end times thing, or I don't know when this happens. I ain't going to put a time frame on it. But you're not going to see Jesus manifold in, coming in his fullness of the church to take the church, because this lawlessness element has to be completely out of the church, has to become out from among us. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Somebody else has some comments on that, they'd be fine.
Amen. Yeah, Andrew.
And don't forget about this son of perdition. He was paid.
Yeah, he got 30 pieces of silver, didn't he? Or was it 30? Yeah. So.
You think maybe someone might want some payment that to turn some people in?
It'd be interesting if history repeats that way, won't it? If it exactly ties in with Ecclesiastes 1:9, what has been shall be, what has been done shall be done, there's nothing new under the sun. See if that prophecy comes right straight out, repeats again. I'm sure in some ways it will, but I'm not sure if it's going to be the rule, but we definitely know it might play out somewhere.
Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, when Paula was asking, you know, how could you tell, what came to my mind was John verse 7. For many deceivers are forth into the world, but they that confess not Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. And while I was reading that, I remember a couple days ago they had a chapel. A House of Representatives gave this prayer about all these dark spirits before the session began. And he was a Jesuit. And he gave listen, not like a good prayer, but I listened again. He never mentioned the name of Jesus. He said, by your powerful name, you cast out these dark spirits, but he didn't confess Jesus. You know, he had a nationwide audience there, didn't confess Jesus.
You're cutting out, Tim.
I'm sorry. Did you get the second John 7 part?
Do now.
Believers are gone forth into the world, even they that confess not Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. And that was for Paula. But I was talking about the chaplain that opened the House of Representatives prayer the other day. It was all over the news, but he gave a prayer that was pretty powerful about casting out the dark forces in the House chamber, but he's a Jesuit, and he never mentioned the name of Jesus in his prayer. He bounced around it, but he never said it. Now that says quite a bit about where he's really coming from. But so I think 2 John 7 is a good way to be who's given the true signs and who's given the signs that are false, you know, as if they confess that Jesus come in the flesh.
I think Jesuits are known to be, you know, the strong arm of the church, right? In the background, as far as their militant version of the Catholic Church and the military version. And I don't know, everybody ever read that Jesuit code or whatever it is they ever read? They got to confess to, and, you know, it basically says they're all. It's all about the church. It's all about nothing that anything that gets in the way of their of that. They're sworn to destroy basically people and governments, you know, and take them down just for the building up of the church. And they're talking about the Catholic Church itself. So for them to talk about dark forces, he might actually be talking about anything contrary to the church itself taking over and being the leadership of all the world. I don't know. That might be somewhere I'm thinking.
That's kind of where I was going. I didn't want to be that blatant about it yet.
You know what I mean?
Again, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, especially not mentioned in the name of Jesus.
They got some pretty uniforms and some kind of odd looking hats. But other than that, I guess.
You know, I think if we buy a bunch of them, we can get a deal on it.
I'm going to let you handle a hat part of it. I'm going to keep my cap. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. It's amazing to me that someone can read the Bible. I had a preacher one time tell me that the Holy Spirit was just not his ministry. And it was a sad day for me, because I prayed for him. I liked the guy. And, you know, that's the guy that I was telling you about, told you a couple of times about, that his daughter got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then he came and got baptized in the Holy Spirit and lost his job. People, that's an instance, Andrew, that you were talking about like that. He just was taught that all his life, that healing is not for today. If somebody spoke in tongues, it better be a prophecy, you know, and that kind of garbage. And he was just deceived. God gave him a gateway and the wherewithal because through his daughter to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then he went back and got fired. Church fired him because he tried to bring the Holy Spirit into that dead church. And that happens all the time. It happens all the time. Yeah, Leah.
In the early 90s, I was trying to move to Tennessee, and I had a wife in the Chicago area, and I was down there working, and she was going to sell the house. But the thing I want to tell you is there was a pastor that I started going to this church. We met at the local movie house, you know, on Sunday morning. They didn't have anything going, so they rented the movie theater. But anyway, he was an ex-Baptist preacher, and he was preaching, and somebody got to talking about tongues and the Holy Spirit, and and somebody said, well, I don't know what we would do if somebody was filled with the Spirit and had spoken tongues. And he mentioned that he was filled with the Spirit and spoken tongues, and they fired him too and ran him out. So he was the pastor of the good church down at the local theater. So, just a story.
Yeah.
That was a Baptist church?
Yeah.
Makes you want to go visit if you speak in tongues, don't it?
There's a lot of churches out there that's like that. And they've got some mean people in them. And I feel for the salvation. Yeah. Go ahead.
When I was young, as far as speaking in tongues, one time I was at my wife's church for something. I don't remember what it was. And they had us all kind of stand together as a little groups and pray and hold hands for some reason. They thought it was something they were trying. They had this whole church of 150, 200 people standing around in small groups of three or four praying together. And everybody was doing their prayer, and I said, well, if you don't mind, I'm going to pray in tongues real quick. And I started praying in tongues. And this is the Lutheran church. Boy, this one woman, she jerked her hand out of mine. And, that's the first time they've been exposed to that. And of course I stopped shortly, and I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't have did that. And then afterwards she said, well, I want to thank you for the prayer. But it's like, I'm sure I just caught them off guard. They didn't know how to handle
it. Yeah, no, I didn't. The power of God is fixing to be released very soon, it looks like. As the latter rain, coupled with the former rain, that will bring a lot of people out of those churches. The Lord tells us to separate from them. And that's what we've all done. We've all came through those types of churches that didn't believe a lot of the Word of God. They had rather believe what the preacher told them, that you're a sinner saved by grace. You don't have to worry about anything. Everything's going to be cool. And if you get sick, go down to the doctor. Pray for the doctor that he gets everything right, you know. That's just crazy. But that's what's coming up, is this revival. And I believe that the stuff that's going to be happening, whatever happens, you know. Oh, excuse me. We'll bring a lot of people out of them. They'll see the signs and wonders and they'll say, oh my goodness, they got a whole lot more power than we got. I'm going there. It's just like I did and just like y'all did. Y'all left them Baptists and Lutherans and Presbyterians and Methodist churches and went to a full gospel church. And then you left them because they wasn't right. And here we are. And they'll be coming to us before too much longer. Praise the Lord. That's what I get encouraged about. Go ahead, Dave.
Now I'm thinking when we see this happen, the falling of the Holy Spirit on his people and the draw them out, seems like there's going to be something else going on to capture these people's attention. There's going to have to be something else going on in the country, in the world, that, you know, it's setting people on notice, you know what I'm saying? And they're going to have to see something else that's missing, and the Lord's going to be opening their eyes at the same time. And seeing there's something more that I need to be looking for, and it's not here. But there's also going to be some kind of world events happening, and that's going to get their attention too. Now, is this going to be maybe the earthquakes that possibly might be going around the world? Is this going to be, I mean, I'm not sure if it's going to be this signing of the 7-year covenant, you know, that they're going to do, the world peace covenant. Because we're almost kind of wondering that's going to be done where nobody even knows it happens, right? It begins the tribulation in a sense that time.
The tribulation starts at the signing of the covenant. But think about this. Think about if there was pestilence everywhere and this little group of people over here wasn't getting any of it and everybody random was. And then you got over here, another little group over there that's not being affected by whatever it is that's been turned loose on the public, and everybody around them getting sick and dying, and they're just thriving, praising God, and healing people. That's when the light's going to shine like a beacon out there, and that revival will start. They'll come out of those churches. Yeah, Joe.
One thing, I think this past week I was watching a couple of videos on YouTube of the of some of the past revivals, you know, Azusa Street in the first Great Awakening, they say. And I noticed a theme. I haven't really looked at any of the other ones throughout history, but I'm sure there's a theme. There was a great level of evil. You know, the devil was really working. Like at Azusa Street, that was during the time of the Civil Rights era. You know, they had the Jim Crow laws, the racial segregation. And I'm sure, you know, they had, I mean, they thought it was crazy, you know, I mean, during the Azusa Street revival that there, that little, the home they were at, there was no segregation. You know, they were all together, blacks and whites and everybody. So I think, you know, even like the first Great Awakening in America, they said drunkenness was real bad. There was a lot of crime, you know, I mean, it was just running rampant. And they had no control over it. So I think that, at least that'll be one thing. And look at us today. You know, there's a greater level of demonic activity going on. So I think, I mean, you know, not just, I guess, they'll, you know, like with what you were saying, Dave, but there'll be that. You know, I think before we really see that. I mean, and we're probably there, you know, this just a greater level of demonic activity and Satan working that, you know, here. And then all of a sudden here comes God working. So, I mean, you know, that's something I noticed, and I thought, well, yeah, we're like right there, smack dab in the middle of it. So, yeah.
Go ahead, Missy.
You know, when Joe said about, you know, particular sins, you know, being rampant, you know, at different times of revival, One thing that I didn't mention earlier when I was praying about all the different things I was praying about, my neighbor told me about another household in the neighborhood where the grandfather had molested his grandchild. That the whole pedophilia, sexual immorality, you know, the sex trafficking and everything is, I think that it blows my mind at how much going on. And Mila even actually told me about a month ago that she was on a jury for this guy that had molested his daughter, but somehow it got dismissed and they're going to have a mistrial or whatever. I mean, it just blows my mind. I'm hearing about it so much and how close to home it is. You're finding out people, you know, in your neighborhood that had these issues and stuff. And it just blows me away. And it's so sad, especially, you know, the fact that the children are the ones that are the victims and stuff. And and not even to mention child being victims, you know, the thing too. So anyway, I thought of another prayer request. Can I do that so I don't forget?
Yeah, hang on just a minute. Marilyn, pray the Charlie Horse prayer. Hurry.
In the authority of the mighty name of Jesus, I command that thing out of Michael, off of Michael. Thank you, Lord, for the angels driving that nasty spirit out of him and away from him. And Lord, we give you great praise and glory and thank you. And we command that spirit, you're not coming back. And we pray in Jesus' mighty and blessed name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Here you
go, in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, Missy.
Probably Sunday, we're going to go see Merle's sister and brother-in-law. We've prayed for him before, Herbie. He has Parkinson's and cancer, and he's had this, both of them, for quite a long time, and when he spoke to him the other day, they had called him and said that Herbie's on hospice now. And so we're going to go see them, like I said, probably Sunday. And, I'm always hesitant to pray for someone when I know there's unbelief all around. To me, it falls to the ground. If they don't believe and people around don't believe, you know, I can pray that they believe and they have faith to be healed. But I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like the little girl that, Jesus sent everybody out except for the parents and the disciples that were with him, because everyone else, you know, they were mocking, you know, and stuff. And I want to pray for Herbie. You know, he I had shared a long time ago about how he was about ready to take communion. He asked the Lord to touch him, and when he got up there to take communion, he literally felt the Lord touch his face. And he there for a while, he went through a period with the Parkinson's where he felt stronger and he was able to walk better and everything. And I had told him, I encouraged him. I said, you know, the Lord doesn't do, you know, wouldn't do it halfway and not finish it. You know, I said, you know, just, you know, believe that the Lord's going to complete it. And I've encouraged him at least twice since then, I believe. But so I would love to pray for him, you know, and, Father, I just ask you, Lord, to give Herbie and Shirley the faith to believe. Give them the faith to believe, Lord, that you will do this. Give them the faith to receive. And Lord, that whoever is there, if you give me the opportunity, I'm asking you for the opportunity that all unbelief must go in the name of Jesus, that no one in the room would have unbelief, Lord, but that you would give boldness of faith, Lord, that you would give mighty faith, Lord, the faith that calls the things that are not as though they were, Lord, just like you did. You called out of nothing. You created this whole universe and everything in it, Lord. And I just ask you to do that. And I believe, Lord, that Herbie will be healed, Lord. But Lord, you know, I ask you, Lord, too, that you put it in Herbie to want to live. You know, sometimes people just they're done and they want to go and be with you, Lord. I don't want to automatically take for granted that this is what's going to happen, Lord, but you open the door and you show me all the signs that we need. And Lord, I just even ask you to, if this is, it's always your will to heal, but sometimes people just want to go to be with you, Lord. And I just ask you, Lord, to give me the signs if I'm to pray for healing, and that Merle and all of us would agree, Lord, put our faith together and believe that it's done, Lord. And in Jesus' name, I don't know, you know, if anybody has any thoughts on what I said, but that's where I am. And you know, I've been asking the Lord to increase my faith, but I know that it's not just my faith. There has to be faith in others. So, I mean, I don't know if anybody has any thing that they want to say concerning all that I did, but.
Yeah, I had a problem with my best friend one time had a stroke, and his wife, Jezebel, and I told her, she knew I had faith. She knew Buddy had faith, and I told her, and he was in a coma. I said, why don't you and I go in there and pray for him? Oh, Michael, it's just too late. He's da-da-da-da-da-da. I said, well, why don't you stay out here and let me go? And she wouldn't let me do it. So anyway, go ahead, Dave.
I was praying, but I will pray for somebody real quick. There was a guy that work, his name's Johan, and he's a born-again Christian, fulfilled. He's trying to bring his wife back. She's got a visa granted for I think it's from, I got to think about this one. I can't remember the exact name of it, but I had it written down, and I lost it. But it's one of the African countries, I pray this one, just sort of my offer in prayer that his wife be brought in the country post-haste, no more any kind of delays, and things work through a miraculous of God's will. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer for Johan and bring his wife into the country, to stop any kind of delays and make this a sweet and easy transition for them, for the family. He also wants to bring her sister in so they can raise her up, because she's a young girl and they want to bring her up in a nice, safe environment. Because I think of where they're at, it's kind of dangerous right now. So that's why they're bringing him over. So thank you, Lord, for hearing a prayer for Johan and his wife and his wife's sister. Thank you in the name of Jesus.
Amen. I got an update from Lenny this morning. He said, thanks for the prayers and encouragement last night on the conference call. This was yesterday. I felt pretty beat up after day's end yesterday. The parents of the boy have also given up believing for his restoration. They say they're at peace. Everyone around me thinks I'm losing it. How many of you know they do that sometimes? They are completely rejecting the thought of Alexei coming back. Some believe it's just not possible. Everyone wants to tell me that I'm wrong to be believing such thing. They say I'm grieving the Holy Spirit of God. They are afraid I am in danger of being afflicted by demons for my belief. It's a constant battle against the spirit of heaviness and unbelief. I know I am a weak vessel. I lay my life down and just trust the Lord that he will bring this about in his own way, using whatever and whomever he chooses for his own glory. I don't know how to express this. I don't even know Alexei in a personal way. I don't remember any of his facial features except when he was in my hands all beat up and maimed. But for some reason, I felt a strong burden to believe for the boy's return. That's his gift of faith. This is all so new to me and overwhelming. There are going to be a lot of people at this funeral. Lots of families coming from all over the United States. I pray the Lord knocks their socks off. And I agreed with him, and he come back and he said, I raise a hallelujah louder than the storm. And we played that. Bless your people, O God. We desperately need your gift of repentance and outpouring of the Holy Spirit and great anointing. Tear down the strongholds of the devil amongst your people, O God. Bless us, Lord. We are yours. Then he sent another one and said, the whole thing just puts chills up and down my spine. They have such a grand plan for this funeral. If they only knew what is to come. Praise God. Lord, we believe with Lynn that your glory is going to shine above all their doubt and unbelief, Lord. You're going to bring an end to all of their doubt and unbelief, and you're going to separate them into the type of people that you want, Father. And we thank you that Alexei is in store for to shock all of this family, and it will send chills and goosebumps all up and down this bunch of people, unbelieving people, Lord. And I thank you that you're going to make some great, true believers out of them through Alexei and Leonid. And Father, I just praise you for his bold and great faith that you've placed in him, because it sounds like you have given him the gift of faith. And it's awesome, Lord, to just to read and see what Leonid is going through here. And I thank you, Father, that I believe that this miracle is happening. I believe it, Lord. I believe with Leonid, and I believe with everybody here that believes, that has faith to believe, that Alexei is going to be raised up and join this great revival starting up there in Missouri at his funeral. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you, Father, that it's going to just turn the tide for this family. And Lord, I thank you that during this period of time, that Lynn, this great move of faith that you've given him, Lord, take it back to Josiah. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for this great man of God that you're placing this bold faith in. He don't think he's great, but that faith of his is going to raise that boy up. I believe it. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody else want to pray? Yeah, Joe.
I wanted to ask first, did you say there'll be multiple families at that funeral? That's what that text said? People from all over?
Multiple family members, yeah.
They're
coming from all over.
Well, that's a great start to a revival. I was kind of encouraged about that. I thought, wow, that's a great start to a revival. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Father, we just say thank you for this revival. We believe. We rebuke all doubt, unbelief, any double-mindedness in any of us, Lord. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for bold faith, Lord. And I've been praying for bold faith for myself, Lord, you know, and I pray for bold faith for others. This is a step in that direction, Lord. We believe you can do mighty things. So we ask that, yes, Lord, we believe with Leonid, and we believe with others, Michael and others who are believing. And we thank you, Lord, for this great revival in this area here in Missouri. Let this be the beginning of a great revival in that area, and let it spread to wherever those family members live, Lord. He says there's going to be many family members. Well, when this thing breaks out, Lord, let them all go back to wherever they came from and just tell of the good news of what the Lord did. Just like the maniac of Gadara, you, Lord Jesus, you cast all those demons out of him. And, you know, he said, go back and tell your family, you know, go back and tell the great things that the Lord has done. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do here. We thank you of the great things you're going to do through this miracle. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah, Lord, we come against this spirit of heaviness that's coming against Leonard. And we also ask that you come alongside him, give the spirit of praise and thanksgiving and adoration and peace and love and joy. We actually lift him up, Lord, in this time so he can come out and just be full of your spirit and truth and love and peace and faith. And, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing for him. And we come alongside him. We ask you send the angels to lift this burden that's off him. If it's a trial, Lord, let him go through the trial. But afterwards, we ask for a lifting, Lord. We ask for that lifting. And praise you, Lord, for hearing us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We believe, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother.
Well, I got a different prayer that I want to pray, but I also wanted to comment when you were talking about the pestilence in this country, and the people would see a group of people that weren't affected over here and a group of people that weren't affected over there. I think that we'll be sent out two by two when those things occur and minister to people, you know, make ourselves available to people and go out and minister to them.
So, okay, yeah.
Yeah, it won't necessarily be that they'll see us over here, because they'll be engrossed in trying to stay well and get whomever to the doctor or something. So I think we'll be going out as a minister. While you got your faith shoes on, the check engine light came on my truck today, so I stopped at the local store and auto store, and they put it on the computer, and it said an O2 sensor, and that's related to the catalytic converter. And you know, I had them cut off of that Ford that I had, that I gave to my brother, the catalytic converters, and I don't want to do it to this truck, but I want to pray for the sensor light to go off and the O2 sensor to work. So that may be related to my muffler being bent or my tailpipe being bent too from that accident. Anyway, agree with me if you would. Lord, I pray for that sensor to go off. I pray it doesn't affect my truck. I pray the O2 sensor with the catalytic converter would be healed in the name of Jesus, and everything would work right, and it wouldn't cost me anything. I got better things to do with my money than put them in a truck. So thank you, Lord, and I just believe that it's going to happen in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I believe it too.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father. All right, George, go ahead, brother.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that we can boldly come to your throne and believe, and that you've given us faith to believe that we are entering the times where the last enemy is being put under your feet. And Father, we just thank you for victory over death. We thank you
yes.
for continual victory over death. And we thank you for a sign and a wonder for those that need faith. And Father, I thank you for your tests, and I thank you for your victory, and I praise you, and I rejoice for the victories to come where your body will have death under its feet. And Father, I speak life to this man's child. I thank you for raising him up. He will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Father, without you, we are always helpless. Without your power and your Holy Spirit, there is nothing we can do. There was nothing that Jesus could do without you, Lord. And we are just as connected as your son Jesus. You have made many sons by planting the seed of your son. And Father, we give you all of our faith. We give you all of our hope in your word and our trust in your goodness and our trust in your faithfulness. And we love you, Lord, and we know that you are not a man that you should lie, and that what you have told us, we can stand on it. No matter what winds blow and what storms come, your word is trustworthy, and your words are powerful life. Your words are spirit, and they are life. And we love you, Lord, and we thank you, and we will trust you till the end. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Lord. Ditto. I believe it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for raising this young man up. Jesus' name. All right. Yeah, Joe.
But as I was praying there, I got a prayer request myself. I want to lift it up. Or if someone wants to pray for me, I've been praying for great faith here. I still got the job situation. I have an interview tomorrow, but I don't want to really want to pray for that. You know, I believe the Lord will provide. But I've got several bills I haven't paid, and I would like, if someone feels led to pray for me, or I'll just pray and agree. I'd love to see a miracle. You know, I want great faith to, the Lord will blow my mind. Like you've given testimonies, Michael, and I think David said last time I was down there. Other people have seen it where, the Lord, you open your wallet and the bam, there's a whole lot of money there. I don't care really what it is. I want that bold faith to believe that, just anything. He could just drop it out of the sky or whatever. So I mean, if someone feels led to pray for me, because I still have about a week or so, and then I have, my rent's due. And if I start next week, this job, I feel good about it. And, I've been believing and I've been praying. So I want to see a miracle that'll blow my mind. So, if anyone feels led to pray, sure. But if not, I'll go ahead and pray and just agree with me.
Okay. So. Let's pray.
Amen.
And Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift Joe up to you, Lord. Lord, put his heart at rest.
Yes.
To know that you're the one that he has to trust. He don't have to trust in anybody giving anything or anything else. That he just trusts in you.
Amen. And
Father, we thank you for placing that in him. Yes. And Lord, you are a right on time God.
Amen.
You always show up when it's time, and we thank you for that, Lord. And I'm asking that you place in Joe to just don't worry about anything, just kick back and rest in you, Lord. And I thank you for it. Sometimes it's hard for us to do that when we see these bills coming in, but Lord, we know and we believe that you'll take care of us, that you'll provide for us. You said it in your word as part of salvation. That you'll take care of us. And I thank you, Lord, you're going to take care of Joe in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I believe it.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
All right. Anybody else? Oh, Holy Spirit blasphemy or Jesus is blasphemy. Now, next week, what was it, baby? Look at my notes. Oh, difference in keeping the commandments. of the Lord and or the law, the Old Testament law. I guess that's what you were talking about, wasn't it, David?
I was looking at, you know, in the New Testament, we're told, if we, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And he also talks about obeying him. So we've got this standard we're supposed to be kind of held accountable to, right? Especially if we're led by the Spirit. But you also have the Old Testament where they had the law. I'm saying, what's the difference? What can we find that's different about them? Or what can we find that's the same about them? But there's two different covenants, and both are kind of sliding towards obedience, but we have a new covenant. So let's find out what it is we have. That it's, even though it's, it sounds like we're being put back under the law, and there is not like it's legalism, but what is it about our covenant that is superior to the old covenant? It's still obedience. There's still commandments we're supposed to follow. But what's the difference there? What makes the difference? And why, in a way, we're fulfilling the law of the Old Testament. We want to find out exactly where it goes. Because if we bring a new believer in the church, and let's say, for instance, well, I'm going to be part of the liberal church here. Let's say, oh yeah, we believe in the New Testament. We believe in Jesus. You know, that's good. You know, but hey, you know, come on over this weekend. We're going to be watching the Super Bowl game and having a lot of beer, and you know, and we're going to have a good time. And you know, maybe afterwards, you know, the wife will have some of her friends over. All it'll be great, you know. And or you might have somebody say, well, yeah, it's all under the blood, right? I mean, you know, I confess my sins, and I'm good. What else is there? Next week I'll come and do the same thing, and if I screw up along the way, oh, well, you know, if I keep on doing it over and over, it's good, right? I'm still saved, ain't I? Or you got the other extreme. Hey, you know what? We worship on Saturday. Why don't you? We're keeping the Sabbath. How come you're not? Well, that's why we're probably a little head up on the rest of you guys. You know, but even we believe Jesus is the Lord and Savior, but we're also following the rest of the commandments too, and you're not. Don't you feel like you're missing something? You know, there's these extremes. Let's find out where we're supposed to be at. What is it? What is the following Jesus? What is the commandments? What is obedience? What was the law? Are we fulfilling the law today? I don't know if that makes a lot of sense, if that's something worth discussing, but I kind of thought it would be intriguing a little bit maybe. We literally look into this a little bit, not just, oh yeah, I just pray to Jesus, it's good. You know, a lot of people do that. Are they really fulfilling? Are they being obedient? Are they trying to walk after the Lord? Are they fulfilling His commandments, doing those things? Anyways, that's kind of my thoughts.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and pray us out?
Want me to pray it out?
Yeah.
Okay. Father, thank you. Thank you for bringing us together again. Allowing us to not only fellowship, but to get closer and draw closer to you, to understand what it is you want from us and how it is we can come together as a body and of believers and grow in faith and love for each other and also for you. And Lord, we thank you for hearing our prayers, for all our concerns we brought up to you tonight, and even any kind of illnesses. And we know that you're there, you hear us, and we prayed for the prayer of faith for these things. We prayed for the prayer of faith for bringing Lexi back to dead. We pray for your church, for the revival of your church, Father, in these last days. We pray that those that are among us, that has to come out from among us and be separate so that your body can be holy. We pray, as much as we hate to see that happen, we pray for that too, Father. We know those days are coming. Those are your words, not ours. We pray that we don't get caught up in these times and be drawn away and fall away either. We want you to seal our hearts and seal our souls and seal our minds in you, Christ, in you, Jesus, in you, Father. And we ask this by bold faith. And we again thank you for all the things you've done for us this week. As we continue on with the rest of this week, give us a good night's sleep, Father. Help us continue on through Friday to make it through. And if some of us have to work on the weekends, let it be. We pray for Joe to he gets that job and he can pay his bills. Thank you, Father, for that prayer. Thank you. We also thank you, Father, for this weekend. If we come together this weekend, we get to share more time in prayer with you. But we all give you the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father. Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord. Well,